you go to bed and it's dark outside, but it's also dark inside. Your energy is gone. And when you awake, even though it's dawn, it's still dark inside. Your burden is heavy. Your sadness overwhelming. And God? Well, God is nowhere to be found. Just darkness and hopelessness. Depression has been part of the journey. Am I on? Yes? Jim? Yep, okay. Sorry. Little cutout problem here the last few days. Depression has been part of the human journey for a long time. In fact, it was described in the oldest known medical writing, the Ebers Papyrus, an ancient Egyptian document written in about 1550 BC. It was well known amongst the ancient Greeks. The Bible has numerous references to depression. For instance, in Job chapter 3, Job virtually describes the symptoms of a depression. He is grieved and distressed. He feels hopeless, pessimistic, helpless, and fatigued. He can't help, he can't sleep, and he's restless, and he's irritable, and his thoughts are focused on death. That's depression. The depression is not having a bad day or feeling a little down. Depression is much more significant than that. And like other mental illnesses, depression exists on a spectrum from what is called reactive depression to more clinical, severe disorders. A depressed mood that occurs in reaction to loss, for instance, the death of a spouse, is referred to as reactive depression. And while in some instances reactive depression is severe and needs treatment, it's normally of short duration and self-correcting. On the other end of the spectrum are depressive disorders. Let me share with you the top three depressive disorders in North America. Dysthymia disorder is a less severe type of depression characterized by a chronically depressed mood for at least 2 years. The symptoms of dysthymia, while not seriously disabling, do keep an individual from functioning well or feeling good. Many people with dysthymia experience major depressive episodes during their lives. Second one, a major depressive disorder, is characterized by one or more episodes in which a person has a depressed mood or loss of interest in nearly all activities for at least 2 weeks. In addition, the individual must experience a combination of symptoms that interfere with his or her ability to work, sleep, eat, study, or perform normal daily functions. And then there's bipolar disorder, or what used to be called manic depressive illness, and that's characterized by cycling mood changes. The affected individual alternates between severe highs, mania, and severe lows, depression, often with periods of normal mood in between. When in a depressive phase, the person will display many of the symptoms of a depressive disorder. When in the manic phase, he or she will be overactive, overly talkative, and have excessive energy. Major depression occurs in at least 10 to 25% of women and 5 to 12% of men. And here's a stat I didn't know, which is shocking. Only 19% of those with a clinical depression will ever seek treatment. Only 19%. Depression is an experience of the body. Here are some of the things that a depressed person may experience in their body. You're unable to sleep or you oversleep. You experience loss of appetite and energy. Your weight can change. You are restless and/or irritable. You get headaches, digestive disorders, and you experience chronic pain. Depression is also an experience of the soul. You feel worthless. You are plagued with negative thoughts. You have a loss of interest or pleasure in things. You may have a diminished ability to think or concentrate. You are persistently sad, anxious, or empty. You experience feelings of guilt or helplessness. Depression is an experience of the soul. It's an experience of the body, but depression is also an experience of the spirit. You wonder, where is God? Where is my hope? Psalm 102, verses 1 to 11, has a powerful description of depression. We don't know who wrote this psalm. What we do know is this person was afflicted and had grown weak. And the first 11 verses of Psalm 102 give us a great description of depression. Listen to what the psalmist says. Hear my prayer, Lord. Let me cry for help come to you. Let my cry for help come to you. Do not hide your face from me when I am in distress. Turn your ear to me when I call. Answer me quickly. For my days vanish like smoke. My bones burn like glowing embers. My heart is blighted and withered like grass. I forget to eat my food. In my distress, I groan aloud, am reduced to skin and bones. I am like a desert owl, like an owl among the ruins. I lie awake. I have become like a bird alone on a roof. All day long, my enemies taunt me. Those who rail against me use my name as a curse, for I eat ashes as my food and mingle my drink with tears because of your great wrath. For you have taken me up and thrown me aside. My days are like an evening shadow. I wither away like grass. Look what's going on in the psalmist's life. Life seemed meaningless. His appetite had changed. He'd lost weight. He had a sense of despair. He couldn't sleep. His thoughts were negative. He doubted God was close. He even doubted if God existed. And if God existed, it seemed like God hated him. The psalmist was depressed. And listen, depressed people don't just snap out of it. Someone has said the secular world says to a depressed person, snap out of it. The church says to that person, snap out of it in Jesus' name. It's not that simple. Depression is a holistic illness and thus requires a holistic approach to treatment. Because depression is an expression, an experience of the body, there's biochemical realities, there's often hormonal realities. Because of that, it requires biological treatment, diet, exercise, sleep, and sometimes medication. Because depression is an experience of the soul, it requires a psychological treatment, counseling, and psychotherapy. And because depression is an experience of the Spirit, it requires God and His Word. Psalm 130 is a lament psalm about our sin and God's forgiveness. And if you were here last summer, we did a series on lament psalms. And Psalm 130 was one of the psalms I spoke on back then. But what I want to do today is I want to use some of the words and the phrases in this powerful psalm as we look at the subject of depression. Most scripture was written as God's word to us. The psalms, however, are our words to God. Listen to the words of Psalm 130. Out of the depths I cry to you, Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my cry for mercy. If you, Lord, kept a record of sins, Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness. so that we can, with reverence, serve you. I wait for the Lord. My whole being waits, and in his word I put my hope. I wait for the Lord more than watchmen wait for the morning, more than watchmen wait for the morning. Israel, put your hope in the Lord, for with the Lord is unfailing love, and with him is full redemption. He himself will redeem Israel from all their sins. Go back to verse 1. Depression is often marked by deep despair. Out of the depths, I cry to you, Lord. From the very bottom, I cry to you, Lord. This psalmist in deep despair, the Message paraphrase puts it well. It says, help God, the bottom has fallen out of my life. And if you go over to Psalm 69, it gives us a good description of what life looks like when the bottom falls out. Save me, O God, for the floodwaters are up to my neck. Deeper and deeper I sink into the mire. I can't find a foothold. I am in deep water. The floods overwhelm me. I am exhausted from crying for help. My throat is parched. My eyes are swollen with weeping, waiting for my God to help me. The psalmist feels utterly helpless. I'm going down. I'm exhausted. I'm overwhelmed. I'm sinking. There's no joy. There's no passion. There's no energy. Just a feeling of sadness, of sinking into despair. Have you ever been there? Are you there now? Depression is also marked by a sense that God seems absent. Look at verse 2. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my cry for mercy. The Message again says in a paraphrase, Master, hear my cry for help. The psalmist is pleading with God to hear him. He's pleading because he's not sure God will. He's not sure God's going to hear him. He's not even sure God's there. Just like in Psalm 102. Just like in Psalm 42, where David says, I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? In times of depression, it can feel like God has forsaken you, abandoned you. It seems like he is far away, distant. It can even seem like he doesn't exist. And that's why it's important to cry out. Look at verse 2. Let your ears be attentive to my cry for mercy. The psalmist cried out from the depths of despair. And that's what someone dealing with depression needs to do. They need to cry out. Now, that's not always easy to do. In fact, I would suggest to you, if you're battling depression, it takes courage to cry out. There's the stigma. There's the what will other people think. If I'm honest about my depression, about how I'm feeling, about the despair that I sense that God is distant, that I'm sinking, what will other people think? And listen, that's especially true, I think, if you're a guy. You know, one of the things that's really been tough for me to break through, and I've done it in the last while, is for me to share about my journey with anxiety. Because the stats say that twice as many women as men battle anxiety. And I'm like, man, it almost feels like it's not very manly to battle anxiety. And I had to break through that and say, I'm going to share my journey. And people that are experiencing depressive symptoms in their life need to cry out. But only 19% of them do. And I think the reason only 19% of them do is because of the stigma, because of the shame, because of the feeling of what will other people think. It takes courage to cry out. It's not always easy to do, but let me say, if you're experiencing depression, it's an important first step. If I was to take a gun and shoot you in the gut, you have three options. Number one, you can deny I shot you. Number two, you can go, oh, that's painful. Look at all the blood, and you can dwell on it. Or number three, you can scream, the pastor just shot me. Somebody get help. And it's the same with depression. You can deny that you're experiencing the symptoms of depression, or you can dwell on the fact that you're experiencing these symptoms, or you can cry out to God and others for help. It takes courage to cry out, and we need to honor those who do. We need to accept those who do. We need to smash the stigma so that we can be a place, we can be a people that allow people to cry out. And if you're journeying today with someone who is battling depression, I believe there's a really key word for you in Psalm 130 for you to hear. And it's in verse 5 and 6. I wait for the Lord. My whole being waits. In His word I put my hope. I wait for the Lord more than watchmen wait for the morning. More than watchmen wait for the morning. Five times the psalmist here uses the word wait in these two verses. And just as watchmen waited for the morning, certain that the morning would come, the psalmist is calling on those who are in despair, those who are depressed, to wait on the Lord. Listen, we live in an instantaneous society, don't we? And we want everything fixed instantly. And that includes our illnesses. Thus, people with depression want to be instantly rescued from that depression. They want it resolved, and yet it doesn't work that way. And if you've ever journeyed alongside someone who is depressed, yes, it can be a very frustrating journey at times. You want to shake them, and you want to tell them to snap out of it, but it doesn't work that way. And if you're journeying alongside someone who is struggling with depression, here's what you need to do. You need to learn to wait, and you need to be patient, and you need to be present. Last week, my wife shared some of her journey several years ago with depression. And it was a 3-year journey she went through. And I remember those first few weeks till the medication kicked in. And basically, she was almost non-functioning. It was very acute. It was very severe. And I learned in those moments, in those weeks, that what I needed to do, I needed to be patient, I needed to be present, and I needed to pick up for the family. And let me say to you today, if you're journeying with someone who is battling depression, the two best gifts that you can give them are presence and patience. The gift of presence is a powerful gift. You know, we always beat up Job's friends for what they said to Job, but we miss what they did originally. Look at Job chapter 2 and verse 13. Job's had this terrible life experience. He's depressed. He's curled up in the fetal position. And look what it says about his friends. They sat with him on the ground 7 days and 7 nights, and no one spoke a word to him, for they saw that his suffering was great. Can I say this? A person with depression is not so much looking for answers from you as much as they're looking for you to be present and to listen and to care and at times to protect them from themselves, because people in clinical depression can make some seriously wrong decisions. But what they're looking from you is to be patient and to be present and to listen and to care and protect. They can search for answers elsewhere. from counselors and doctors and other places. What they need from those closest to them is patience and presence. And let me also say this. It's important to take people who are struggling with depression seriously. Don't deny, don't minimize their symptoms. If they're saying they're feeling some way, who are you to say they're not? Don't deny, don't minimize, listen. And if someone says they're suicidal, they often are. Take them seriously. But let me also say this, there's hope. There's hope. The sun will come up. As watchmen wait for the morning, the watchmen knew the sun would come up. They just had to wait for it. I don't know if you've ever been down to our base in Mexico. There's a rooster that's messed up in the head down there. If you've been down there, you know what I'm talking about. This rooster starts doing its rooster thing like at 2:30 in the morning. It's like, no, it's not sunshine yet. It's not sunrise. What are you doing? See, the sun will come up in Mexico. That rooster just needs to learn to wait. It's got a messed up time clock. And that's what we need to do. We need to learn to be patient and present and wait. Listen, the sun will rise. Things will get better. There's hope. And that's the key thing a person with depression needs to understand, is there's hope. Depressive disorders all share a common feature, hopelessness. In his despair, Job cried out, "Where is my hope?" Listen to the words of Psalm 130, verse 7. "Israel, put your hope in the Lord, for with the Lord is unfailing love, and with him is full redemption." The psalmist encountered God in the midst of his despair. He encountered God right there in his despair. God was there in the middle of his depths. God was present. And now the psalmist encourages others to know the Lord is unfailing love, and with him is full redemption. Go back to Psalm 130 and verses 3 and 4. It says, "If the Lord kept a record of sins, Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, so that we can with reverence serve you. With you there is forgiveness." Listen, it doesn't matter what you've done, there's forgiveness. When we cry out to God for forgiveness, God forgives and removes all our sin. And because of Jesus' work on the cross, when you come to him, you've been forgiven, you are free from condemnation, you are in Christ, and you have eternal hope. Depression is an experience of the body and the soul and the spirit. Thus, we need biological and psychological treatment. But we also need spiritual healing and wholeness. And that comes from knowing Christ and knowing his forgiveness and knowing his presence in your life. And it also comes from understanding who you are in Christ. Because see, when you're depressed, your thoughts condemn you. I'm worthless. I'm useless. I'm a failure. Listen, that's not who you are in Christ. And when you're diagnosed with a depressive disorder, it's easy for that order to become your identity. Don't label yourself as depressive. Don't label yourself as bipolar. Your illness is not your identity. Say it again because that's really important. Your illness is not your identity. That's not who you are in Christ. Let me remind you who you are in Christ. In Christ, you are redeemed. In Christ, you can be freed from condemnation. In Christ, you are a saint, not a sinner. In Christ, you have immense worth. In Christ, you are a son or daughter of the Most High God. In Christ, you can be a victor, not a victim. In Christ, you are beloved. So let me wrap up this morning by saying, if you are struggling with depression, your first step is to admit you're struggling. Cry out to God, cry out to others. And then remember that depression requires holistic treatment. Go to your doctor. Work with him. Go to a counselor and work with him or her. And go to God. And don't let your illness become your identity. Remember who you are in Jesus. And if you're journeying with someone who is struggling, let me say to you this morning, your role is to be patient. Your role is to be present. Your role is to be protective. And your role is to be prayerful. Remember, the sun will come up. And for us as a church, here's my desire. If you get our prayer bulletin on Friday, Eileen sent this out, and she said, please pray that SBC is a place of grace. Isn't that awesome? Let's be a place of grace. A place where people can cry out. A place where we journey with those who are struggling with mental illness, whatever that illness is. May we break the stigma. May we be a place of acceptance and grace. A place of patience. A place that's protective. A place that's present. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the Psalms. And thank you for the words that were recorded all those years ago of people crying out to you. Thank you for what we can learn from them. Thank you for how they can speak into our life today. God, in this room right now, there are people dealing with depression. There are people that are journeying with those that are dealing with depression. Father, I pray that your healing hand would be on those who are battling depression. I pray for those that haven't come out and said, I need help yet. May today be the day, by the power of the Spirit, they open up to someone and they cry out to you and they cry out to others and say, I need help. And I pray for those that are walking alongside those that are journeying with depression. May they have an extra measure of your peace and your presence and your patience so they can pass that on to the person they're journeying with. And I pray for us. I truly pray for us as a church that we will be a place of grace. Amen.